We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And good morning, everybody. Good to have you with us on a Tuesday. Just another ho-hummer for Kansas last night. Another way to find a win in a game that they were down by, but rallied nicely in the second half and great dramatics down the stretch with Dedrick Lawson doing his Dedrick Lawson kinds of things. That's what gets us off the cart this morning as we get going on a Tuesday edition of Sports Daily. Shane Dennis on the other side of the aisle. And this is just what we're getting used to with KU now, Shane. I think it's the norm rather than the exception.
Close games, that's what it's going to be. Yeah. The difference between this last one and the one at West Virginia was the Jayhawks closed. They didn't against the Mountaineers in Morgantown, but we're looking at one of the best in-game coaches in the country, Bill Self. I mean, he is, in some ways, and help me here, and stop me if the hyperbole is drowning you, he's a lot like Bill Belichick in that if something's not working, I'm not afraid to scrap the whole damn thing and to do something completely different because this isn't getting it done. I heard Louis Riddick talk about Bill Belichick and the Patriots as being formless. In other words, we can morph into whatever we need to be to beat the other team. I thought that was a little bit of what KU did last night. They couldn't guard Iowa State in the first half. They're running around defensively like chickens with their heads cut off. Weren't switching, couldn't get to open shooters. Iowa State's good, by the way. But KU started switching five on defense in the second half, said, screw it. All right, we're just switching everything. And The looks went away. KU went on a 14-0 run and made the plays down the stretch. Iowa State, I was thoroughly impressed with a team that went in and did that to KU and hung around for as long as they did. A bunch of other teams would have crumbled under a 14-0 run. But they ended up, Iowa State did tie in the game at 69 before finally losing 80-76, thanks to Marcus Garrett shooting a few free throws down at the end.
Yeah.
And then, of course.
Finally.
Right. He's not a good foul shooter, but he finally made some. And then, like you said, Dedrick Lawson going for 29-15, which is what we're getting used to. But getting back to the Bill Self thing, he seemingly, during a game, has no ego. Has no preconceived notions. I mean, of course he has a game plan. Of course his assistants put together the scout and figure this is the best chance that we have to win a game. But if it's not working, I mean, it seems to me like he's willing to draw up plays in the dirt.
Got to have the talent to do it.
Sure you do.
You got to have the talent to be this as spontaneous as he is. But he seems to have I don't want to get into like Zen-like whisperer and stuff. But he has a vision. He's mm-hmm. able to, you know, some coaches, you never know how coaches are seeing things and or what they're depending on or who they're depending on and how it changes their vision. He has a total game vision that is fluid during the course of the game, and it allows him to, as you just said, check his ego, scrap the game plan and the scout. I mean, every one of these games, there's a game plan and a scout going in, and there's certain things that they want to do. But if you can spontaneously see things during the course of a game, and I know people are sitting there thinking, well, isn't that what coaches do?
Not all of them.
Yes, it's what coaches, but there's a degree of difficulty that comes with it.
Yep.
Is the thing. So, but he's able to do that. He has clearness of vision, generally, in those situations and is willing to do, I mean, you know, five-on-five switch. I mean, that's pretty drastic change from what he was doing.
Yeah.
But he realized that he needed a drastic change. Otherwise, he was probably going to lose that game by 12 or 14.
And Iowa State went small, and KU is used to going small now that Doak's out. So it's like, look, they were cutting us apart in the first half. What was it? 40? They get 40-something in the first half, I want to say.
Yeah, something like
that, and
right?
So, you know, I know KU's got the firepower to hang with Iowa State, but you at least got to try to, you know, throw a wrench into their plans, and that's what they did. They got stops and went on a 14-0 run, and Lawson went for 29-15. Marcus Garrett scored 16 more points. I'm telling you, if he gets close to a dozen or more, at least every so often, to go along with Lawson and Vic, KU's going to be hard to deal with. Devon Dotson had 10 points, too, and he had the—
Is anyone going to take away the right hand of Marcus Garrett? I mean,
he had one where it looked like the C's parted down the right side of the lane. Yep.
I mean, take away the right. I mean, look, these are Division I athletes, and so it's a hell of a lot harder than it looks, because when you're sitting there watching it, it's like, well, he's going right and he's going to the hole.
Dude's right-handed. Park on his right hand.
So I mean, you might want to take that away from him and get, but they weren't able to do that. Which probably tells you that, you know, that he's just much harder to guard that way than you think. But, man, he was huge down the stretch. Absolutely huge. But, Shane, through all of that, it pretty much boiled down to a Dedrick Lawson three-pointer.
Yeah, it did.
With, what, 22 seconds left in the game?
Gave him a full-point
lead,
I think.
They were hanging in there. It was a one-point game, and then Lawson hit a three-pointer. And that's not a no-brainer shot. That's a 21% shooter from beyond the arc.
Right.
But he caught the ball in rhythm and never flinched.
Yeah, and he's not a stats guy. And by that I mean don't be fooled by whatever the numbers tell you. He's cold-blooded, man.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean,
he's confident and cold-blooded.
I thought that was going in, no doubt about it. And sure enough, he drained it.
He's
a killer.
Really smooth. And another great one. Kansas is, what are they, 5-2 in the league now? And I don't know. They've won those five games five and two. They've won those big 12 games, those five games, by 5 points. And the two losses have been close. I think the largest margin of victory or defeat, they got killed, obviously, at Iowa State.
Yeah.
Killed at Iowa State. Other than that, in the other six games, 9.
Yeah, they play close games.
Texas Christian by 9. They play close games.
Yeah.
And they win close games. 5 out of 6, anyway. So.
869-1240, if you want to react. We got Pat. Pat, is this KU Pat?
It is indeed.
All right.
Good.
I was at the game last night. I still have a headache. The crowd, as always, was just over the top. And, look, I've been a big critic of Marcus Garrett offensively. I don't know what the light bulb has gone off in his head. I still cringe every time he puts up a three, and he didn't put one up last night. The problem is he's becoming doke at the free throw line. He was 0-for-4. But the guy, I was wrong about him, and I will acknowledge it. Unfortunately, Quentin Grimes has just become wasted space, and I'm not sure he's ever going to get it this year. He's certainly not going to be a one and done player. But
no points in 19 minutes, Quentin Grimes. For those who didn't know,
he was, and he clearly is playing with no confidence.
Right.
But anyway,
what do you think about the Abaji guy? I know he fouled out last night.
I absolutely love him, and
yeah.
It makes you wonder why he was ever redshirted in the first place. But anyway, look, this is the norm. Home or away, every game probably has aged me another 15 years. And this is going to surprise you. I think K-State's in the best shape to win the Big 12. They've got two big road wins at OU and at Iowa State. Not many people are going to win there, and they're playing great. And I think 5 or 6 losses could win this conference.
Mm.
It every game, and then I see Baylor goes in and beats West Virginia at Morgantown, So that loss, if KU loses, if this streak ends, they're going to look back on that game, and it will have caught. It's going to end eventually. And so anyway, it was a nice win, but you just have to hold service at home.
Sure.
You cannot afford a home loss. So.
And K-State and Texas Tech, I believe, play tonight. That'll be a huge one up in Manhattan because they're both, I think, 4-2 in the league.
Yeah. K-State's playing better than anybody in the Big 12, and I had Bruce Weber buried again, but he's got more lives than a cat.
He's like Freddy Krueger.
You aren't the only one, Pat. I hear you, buddy.
Thanks.
Hey, it was a great win. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the call, Pat.
Yeah.
I should have asked him. The Jayhawks had an impromptu 2008 national championship reunion. Sasha Kahn, Mario Chalmers, Sharon Collins, and Brandon Rush were all sitting behind the bench last night.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that. Good for them.
So they go to 18-1 when potentially getting swept in Big 12 play under Bill Self. The only team to ever do it was Oklahoma State last season. So if you get them the first time, you're not getting them the second time. And most of the time, I would guess on those in that stat is that KU gets got on the road, and then when they go back home, they take care of business. 29-15 for Dedrick Lawson. It was first 25-15 game by a KU player since Thomas Robinson 8 years ago. It was his ninth game of at least 20-10, matching the total from all other Big 12 players combined this season. Can we just go ahead and put the Big 12 Player of the Year in Dedrick Lawson and carve his name on the trophy?
Well, yes. I think that that's a foregone conclusion, barring injury or other calamity. What about Pat's contention that K-State's the team to beat right now? And I'm putting maybe that's a little stronger than what he said.
Yeah,
I apologize.
It was in the neighborhood of what he said, I think.
Right.
He did say that they're playing better than anyone in the Big 12 right now. Get back. Well, I'm sure we'll talk about it tomorrow. I was going to say, get back to me 24 hours from now because whatever happens between them and Texas Tech will certainly go a long way.
They're actually a slight underdog at home.
Okay.
At least as of this morning, they were, I think, a 1 or 1.5 point underdog at home.
Look, the fact that
whatever that's worth.
The fact that Dean Wade injury didn't linger longer than it did, and I assume he's okay because what was the last game that they played? Anyway, he was back to his normal self. The Iowa State game, he only scored 2 points or something, and then the game after that is when he kind of got his legs underneath him and they won. TCU. They beat TCU the other day.
Yeah, TCU.
But him coming back and being his normal self has certainly righted some wrongs, even in victories that we were, I know I was, lamenting before the conference started, that they couldn't score any points. And they were just barely beating some, you know, also-rans. And I was concerned. And then, of course, when he and he got hurt, and Stokes got hurt, I think both pretty much at the same time, and it looked like they were kind of circling the drain without those two guys because the only guy that could throw it in the ocean was Barry Brown. But now they're right back where they need to be. They're 9-1 at home. They've won 4 in a row, and you knock off Texas Tech, and you're in a virtual tie with KU at the very top, and you still have both games against the Jayhawks to look forward to. So
yeah, no question. But you're right. When you've got him dead and buried, he goes and wins 4 straight.
Mm-hmm.
And he does it coming off of an injury to his best player. We're talking about Bruce Weber here now.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard to remember that this is a team that only scored 47 against Texas at home or 46 in a loss at Tulsa.
How about Baylor? They're 4-2 in the league.
Yeah. How about Baylor?
A team that Wichita State had down 34 in the first half.
Well,
4-2, 12-6, Baylor Bears. Winners of 3 in a row. They are in a tie for second right now.
I asked this question at the end of the show yesterday, and maybe now is as good a time as any to get into it. And Pat alluded to it. He made the prediction that 5 or 6 losses are going to end up winning this conference. Is this conference just going to cannibalize itself? It seems to have the capability for that, maybe more than ever, only because I don't know if there's a dominant team. Kansas is a really good team. Are they a dominant team? Clearly not to this point. Texas Tech is a really good team, but they're a hell of a lot better team defensively than they are offensively. K-State, Baylor, you got a lot of teams that are pretty capable. And then West Virginia obviously can beat Kansas at home, then turn around and lose by double digits at home to Baylor. I don't know, Shane. Iowa State, I mean, you got a lot of teams in this league that can be better than capable.
Tough outs come March, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Depending on their matchups. KU's just going to have to outscore people, I think.
Yeah,
they are right. Not as deep as they would like to be. Obviously, with Azubuike out and DeSosa out, those are two big pieces that they don't have. And to Pat's point, and I think both of us would agree, Abaji taking off the red shirt has been a kind of a godsend when it comes to their depth and contribution. He fouled out last night, but he was really active in that first half. I want to say, double check here, 8 points and 5 rebounds or something like that.
He's nice.
Yeah, he's a nice complimentary piece.
Yeah, I like him.
16 minutes, 8 points, 5 rebounds, and you got to learn how to play without fouling because he fouled out in 16 minutes, which is not easy to do. But, you know, you're going to ask the Dedrick Lawson, Gerald Vick, and to a little bit lesser degree, Marcus Garrett to do your scoring for you, Abaji come off the bench and give him the hustle plays and things like that. But they're a team that continues to find ways. Until further notice, they're the big dogs.
Well,
and they rarely lose at home.
Half a game up on the rest of the league right now, and so I mean, in real time, they're still the team to beat. There's no question about it. The fact that they're they haven't shown a lot of steel on the road yet. What are they, 1-3 on the road? And you've got some places that you've got to go and you've got to negotiate. I mean, West Virginia is not a very difficult team to beat at this particular point. Man, they're 1-6 in the league. They got hammered at Iowa State. So, I mean, we're not quite over the hump with Kansas yet. But Pat's right. You got to win everything at home. You got to win everything at home and then win half of your games on the road. You do that, you're probably going to win the Big 12. So
it might
take a little more than that. Take one game better than 500 on the road.
I'm trying to.
Which you play 9, so if you go 5-4.
I think, can 6 losses still win this?
Because
you got Texas Tech, K-State going tonight. Somebody's going to lose that. Somebody's going to go to 4-3.
Right.
And regardless of who it is, we think that they probably will challenge for the Big 12 title, no matter who it is, right? Because we both believe in Texas Tech and K-State. I happen to believe in Iowa State. They're 4-3. I don't know about Baylor. I really don't. But they're 4-2. Do I think they'll be 8-4 6 games from now? No, but who knows? But anyway, that road to the Big 12 still goes through Lawrence. So,
yeah, it sure does. They've got Texas on the road next Tuesday. Then are a week from Saturday. Have Texas Tech at home. How about this stretch? They go to Texas, home against Texas Tech, then go to K-State, all between Tuesday and Tuesday.
And so, oh, by the way, Kentucky games before that. Not that that has anything to do with Big 12, but that's a fascinating matchup too, number 9 versus number 8.
Well, yeah, if you throw Kentucky in there, you've got Kentucky on the road, Texas on the road.
Which
Texas
that Kentucky
Tech
game
home.
Shouldn't be discounted because that's part of that gauntlet that might wear you down, you know, by the time you got to go to to Manhattan on February 5th. Lightens up a little bit after that.
They don't really get a break, with all due respect, until Oklahoma State comes in. And Oklahoma State's one of those teams that always seems to play well in Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that gives Kansas kind of fits. And then they got to go to TCU. So, you know, there aren't a lot of places to stop and breathe in the Big 12. And at the end of seven games, that is, Kansas is 5-2 and still leading the league.
Yep.
So there you go. They may be doing it by the skin of their teeth, but they're still doing it. And Dedrick Lawson is a revelation.
Yeah, where would they be without him, man?
Oh, my God. Where would they be without him? He is. And where would Memphis be with him?
No kidding. We were talking about here in the building about a week ago. What would Memphis look like if they had the Lawson twins still?
I mean, are you kidding me?
All right, goodness. What's on tap the rest of the show? We've got a little Roger Goodell talk coming up next segment. Should everything be reviewable? Should nothing be reviewable? We got one last visit with Dan Israel from the Chiefs Radio Network as he continues to try to heal after Sunday mentally. That's 40 minutes from now. And Bob Hull, an hour from now, Shocker analyst as Wichita State plays South Florida tonight in Tampa. We'll talk to him. All that, what's on tap, courtesy of Side Pockets, corner of Kellogg and Tyler.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.